I invite you all to open your personal Bibles or the Pew Bible in front of you and turn to Jeremiah 20 as we read the scripture passage for today, beginning in verse 7. I will be reading from the English Standard Version translation for today. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I fear my whispering. Terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father. A son is born to you, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb. So my mother would have been my grave, and her womb forever great. Why did I come out of the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you please bow your heads in prayer with me? O Heavenly Father, Lord of all creation, and knower of all that has ever been and ever will be, grant us this day a righteous understanding of your servant, Jeremiah's word, and lead us in discernment of the word which you have given us here today. Allow us to know you more as we study this passage and be drawn closer to your everlasting love, as you know our present situations and the things that we long to say but may not yet have the courage to say them. Teach us, O Lord, of your ways that are revealed to us through Scripture, as we have been given because of your great gift of grace. We thank thee for this time of learning and giving praise to your greatness. It is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Now, word of caution before I begin, this sermon does start a little sad, but it gets better. I promise there's a happy ending, so bear with me, all right? So I know what you are thinking. The sermon title for today looks like this might be a counseling session instead. I mean, did we really just wake up on an early Sunday morning to come into church to discuss our feelings? Well, I mean, kind of. Allow me to explain, though. A few weeks ago, Pastor David discussed the holy discontent that we as a human race innately feel. In his sermon, he noted that we collectively feel dark periods of our life where disease, hurt, grief, and agony inflict us with seemingly no end. This hell in life, for which he referred to it as, makes us often wonder, as we find ourselves in the midst of them, that these times of suffering may be all there is to life. Since we live in a fallen world, it is inevitable for us to feel like this, and there is really no way around it. No matter who you are or what status you find yourself in, you will at some point experience the misery of pain and loss, either through physical ailments or spiritual discontent. Now, I'm not one to be such a downer, but we must be honest with our feelings if we really desire to know God more wholly. Imagine, if you will, a husband is angry with his wife, but the wife, who knows that something is going on with her spouse, cannot communicate better with him because he is not opening up to her and telling her how he really feels. Eventually, this lack of communication will continue, other issues will arise, and the whole relationship is in jeopardy. Now, the same thing could be said for two coworkers, where one is troubled because of something that the other said to them. Yet the other person may have no idea they caused their friend to be angry because the one who is disturbed will not tell them that how their words made them feel. Instead, they would rather let bygones be bygones and sweep everything under the rug to avoid confrontation. Now, that's honestly how we humans would like things to be, to live life without confronting one another about our issues because we fear how the other person will react and we dislike conflict. We believe the issue at hand can be controlled by us just getting over it, or by seeking comfort through worldly hopes that only diminish our pain for an instant. But what does this really do to us? How does denying ourselves the necessity of expressing our true emotions help us cope in the end? Now take a look back at the scripture passage, if you will, and admire for a moment how Jeremiah becomes the anomaly in comparison to the average person and blatantly describes every aspect of his suffering to us today and the audience back then. I think we can agree that he definitely does not hold back. Admittedly, when I started studying this passage, I became angry because most of what Jeremiah is saying is exactly how I have felt at some point or another, but yet haven't had the same confidence as him to tell it to God. I mean, how often do we believe that we have to always praise God and are vulnerable to receiving condemnation when we do the opposite? And it's the same when our spouse or child makes us angry and we want to tell them how we really feel. Though again, this may lead to further conflict, so proceed with caution, if you will. In this confession of Jeremiah, the prophet is struggling with his call to do the duties that were given to him by the Lord. Now, to give you some context, this 20th chapter finds Jeremiah being arrested by Pushar, a Judean priest, and beaten because he spoke frankly on the coming destruction of the people of Judah, who were to receive punishment from the Lord, since they did not turn away from their wickedness, as the Lord warned them of. Like those who came before Jeremiah, such as Elijah and Isaiah, and those who came after him, namely Christ himself, the prophet spoke to the people in words that came directly from God. For his willingness to be a conduit of proclaiming God's message to the people, he received nothing but persecution and hatred. If you were to place yourself in Jeremiah's position, you might begin to fathom how painful it must feel to have an entire nation hate you, all because you are telling them the truth of what they will soon endure, which you yourself have no control over anyways, but yet are ridiculed and beaten simply because you are a messenger of the Lord. For Jeremiah, this burden of prophecy has become so great that he cannot hold on to his anguish anymore. And thus he cries out to the Lord in the midst of his suffering. As he both knows of the consequences that come from the Lord to those who defy his laws, and is obviously aware that fallen men will do acts of evil to those who choose to obey him. If you look closely at the passage again, you will notice how each verse represents a different human emotion. Now allow me to elaborate. In verse 7, you have anger and self-pity. In verse 8, there is awkwardness. Verse 9 is a sense of certainty. And then you see confusion, hope, anxiousness, joy, denial, anger, and lastly, disgust. I know, this is kind of sad. Again, it'll get better. It is admirable that one man can feel all of these things in one sitting as this passage was being written. But yet, Jeremiah does not leave anything out. A good amount of every emotion a man is capable of experiencing is listed between verses 7 through 18. I'll tell you why I point this interpretation out to you. Jeremiah did not hide any part of his true pain from God. For any of us who have obeyed God's call for our own lives, we know that it is a natural outcome for us who serve him to become overwhelmed with such a responsibility, whether this be a teacher, a parent, or a law enforcement officer. If you are obedient and have faith that the Lord is leading you on a path that is in response with his purpose, then you know that there is a burden where separating yourself from this path is not an option when you face hardships. Because you know in your heart and are convicted in your soul that there is simply no other way of living that you should be fulfilling. Well, this was the same for Jeremiah, and his confession serves as an example of what to do when we are faced with trials because we are obedient children to the Lord. Looking again at the text, in verse 7, Jeremiah knows he has been chosen to deliver disturbing news to the people of Judah, but now, because of the hatred he has received, believes his calling was a deception from the start. as God knew the torment that would befall Jeremiah, but allowed him to experience it regardless. This state of mind is not just the prophet's own emotional confusion, but is a representation of how quickly man turns to blame the Lord for any evil, when it is in fact man's own doing that causes suffering. For it was man who rejected Jeremiah and caused his distress. And once more, in verse 7, Jeremiah goes into saying that he has become a laughingstock and is mocked by everyone, again, all because he is speaking the truth on behalf of the Lord. Now, who might this remind you of? If we take a look at the crucifixion story in the New Testament, particularly in Matthew 27, verses 27 through 29, the apostle writes, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus and gathered the whole battalion before him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Before his death, Christ receives blatant mocking by men who desire him, who despise him because of his obedience to God by proclaiming the good news and refusing to do anything else. Jeremiah's confession in this 20th chapter is a verbal expression of a single man who did as God commissioned him to do. And likewise, though he is not recorded of giving such a long speech, Christ also expresses his pain by saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" which is recorded in the 46th verse of the Matthew 27 narrative. Now, one interesting common denominator between these two men is their bluntness in words that criticize their circumstances and question the Lord's choice in allowing them to undergo such unimaginable torment. Many of us would agree that these comments, which, remember, are directed right to the Lord himself, are in some ways unthinkable, because really, who is going to tell the Lord of all creation that his plan for their life is kind of harsh at the moment? As believers, we know that God is omniscient, and so only he can know everything that has happened, is happening, and has yet to take place. Therefore, we are commonly led to the belief that God should only be met with our praises and confessions of sins. To tell him, the creator of all things, who gave us life, that what we are experiencing is unfair, is vastly outside of the proper rhetoric we have been groomed to give to the Lord. We definitely would not dare to tell him that we would prefer to have not been born at all, as Jeremiah clearly says in verse 14, where he says, "Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed." Such talk is outrageous in our eyes because we believe God only desires our glorification and thanksgiving, not our disdain for his plan in our lives. Yet, in reality, he does want us to tell him these things, to tell him that life is hard sometimes and our periods of suffering or pain are too much, and that we struggle to find any reason for it at all. Our Heavenly Father desires for us to tell him how we really feel. Looking again at our passage for today, it must be observed that this chapter 20 is smack dab in the middle of the entire book. Now, Jeremiah goes on to write 22 other chapters. Now, I tell you this because Jeremiah's harsh words that he chose to tell the Lord are not the end of his life. He does not simply cease from continuing on in his work, nor is he struck down because he has deemed the life given to him is a mistake by God. Similarly, Christ's cry to the Lord on the cross are not the last words he spoke while on this earth. God did not condemn these men because of their confessions. No, God listened. Jeremiah and Christ cried out to the Lord as they felt completely abandoned by him. But was he truly absent from them? Did Abba simply turn from his servant's suffering? Well, of course not. We know full well that the Father was there through it all, writing the script of their lives. What an incredible bit of knowledge this is. One major difference, though, between Jeremiah's time and our time today is who we call upon as our priest. For Jeremiah, he relied on human priests to listen to his confessions and act as mediator between God and man. If we were to look at ourselves today, having a human being seek God on our behalf and sympathize with us in our pain would be a rather difficult thing to accept. After all, no one here can say that they literally know all of the emotions of everyone else. There are some things in life that we have not experienced, and thus our empathy for each other is limited. However, Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." This is Christ. Yeshua was born of a woman, as we all were. He grew up through childhood, youth, and adulthood, as we are presently doing. And he died, which is a thing we will all face unless Christ returns. Jeremiah did not have the incarnation of God in man to empathize with his pain, but we do. Christ is our priest who knows every part of what it means to be human. No other God in any other religion can claim such a significant gift. We can be confident that what we tell God, he has already experienced and know exactly how it feels. What a glorious and deep relationship this is, to know our God and have him know us. For Jeremiah, his relationship with the Lord is strengthened through his bold act of declaring his whole heart, as we will see in the next chapter of the book, the 21st chapter. The prophet continues on in his call to tell the nation of Judah of the judgment that is to come upon them, as he is sent by King Zedekiah to inquire of the Lord for them. Jeremiah did not become dismayed or so grieved by his circumstances to neglect his duties that were given to him by God. He carried on. With a cleansed heart and assurance of the Lord's faithful presence in his works. Now going back in time a little bit to Genesis 1, verse 27. In the beginning, God created man from his image. We are not made to be producers of praise to the Lord only. We were made to be in an intimate relationship with him. Our Heavenly Father, the Holy Trinity that existed before time began, chose to make us in his very own image. And imagine the kind of love that exists for an eternal deity to make a creature that resembles him in every way. Adam and Eve were made in a pure and honest relationship with the Lord that consisted of transparency and faith. Such faith went both ways, for the first man to trust in God's omniscience and for the Creator's promise in never leaving nor forsaking his creation, mankind. We have strayed far from this pure relationship with the Father. Man has turned from his grace because we have seen destruction and chaos and cannot fathom a God that would allow it all to happen, mostly because of our inability to know why it is all happening. We are consistently taught to be honest with our spouse, or children, or even parents. And since these relationships come from the Lord, why then do we challenge the idea that by being sincere and presenting our true feelings to him is inappropriate or unholy? If God is omniscient, does he not already know your pain, your hurt, your suffering, your tears? Why then should we try to hide it all from him? We must not allow ourselves to suppress our true feelings when we converse with our Father, who loves us so much that he chose to give us the life we experience and promises to ultimately deliver us from the pain of it all. So tell God how you really feel. Jeremiah surely did this, enlisting every single bit of emotion that his heart was experiencing. He did not deny his true self in his conversation to the Lord. This is the challenge that I, with full confidence and enthusiastic heart, give to you all here today. Tell him how you really feel. All of it. Do not leave a single word out or a single emotion. Reject the idea that what you say will cause God to bring you further grief into your lives. Well, Jeremiah is proof that this is not so. Though he obeyed the Lord and only received mockery and torment because of it, through his confession with an absolute pure heart about how much he despised his circumstances, God continued to carry him on in his life as a prophet. God did not abandon Jeremiah. God did as he promised. Therefore, it is okay to tell God well, this sometimes stinks. Or, you know what, Father? I really despise the situation you have placed me in. I really don't like it. You will not be met with hellfire or brimstone, but with greater faith that the Lord hears you and knows your pain, that he has not abandoned you, but is constantly beside you, holding you through it all. Brothers and sisters, do not doubt that we should be silent in expressing the deepest emotions of our hearts. No. Cry out to the Lord with every word or phrase you can conjure that truly expresses your fears and suffering. We are assured by the life of Jeremiah and the resurrection of Christ that God's great faith far outstands our own knowledge. The difficult situations and relationships you are facing today or may in the future will end. But in the meantime, tell the Father, Abba, what you are feeling and be sincere of it all. Amen.